You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We asked the question, maybe the first big question of the show. I think it's appropriate to look back to it, considering we're on the verge of Astros spring training beginning again. They will begin, I believe, tomorrow. We asked the question, how many games would Sean and I watch? I think I put my number at 100. We talked about probably not watching Friday games. I mean, we won't have to talk about the game the next day. It's Friday night. Why do I have to watch the Astros?
There's going to be two games afterwards that we're probably going to talk about more anyway.
Yeah. Do I set my number at 100? I don't remember what you said, Sean, your number.
No chance that I remember, A, what number I said, or B, what number I watched.
And I remember my number. I don't remember how many I watched, but I can tell you I didn't make it to 100. I don't think so. Not full games. I might have seen a bit here. And full games, I'm not saying watch every pitch, but you get the majority of the game. Yeah. Maybe you see the final. Whatever your classification.
I spent a lot of time with the games on as I did something else. Listening in.
That happened. I was a lot of Astro games were on second screen, mostly because I have YouTube TV. Actually, for the most part, because I have YouTube TV. I could not watch the game, so I had to find other ways to watch it. And most of that happened on my laptop, unless there's a nationally televised game. I don't think I got to 100. The goal is 100 again. We'll see. We'll see about that. The Fridays are still probably going to be a no-go. I can guarantee that right now. Unless they give me a lot of Friday afternoon games, which seems unlikely. Not great for business to do that.
No, I don't see why they would.
No. So unless they're thinking about me.
It's like the one time
and scheduling the games.
Yeah.
And specifically for me, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah. No. I do wonder. I wonder if them slowing the slow start that they had last year, and slow start's actually very nice when they're awful for
when
the first
terrible
6 weeks of the season.
Yeah,
I wonder if I don't know if I think that made me watch less, because a lot of times they would just be down 6-0 in the first inning, like there would just be a blow up by Jake Bloss. Actually, no, not Jake Bloss, Blair Hinley. There'd
was
be
the
Blair
guy,
Hinley, although they won that game. There's a Hunter Brown Kansas City one that I remember.
He was cooked.
Yeah, it was literally the Grandpa Simpson meme of me walking in, looking at the score and just walking out.
Walking right back out.
So I don't know. I don't know how that affected it. I think I honestly think Altuve in left field will get me to watch. Like any game that Altuve's in left field.
Yeah, when McCagger
unless I have specific plans, I will be watching that game.
I normally don't wait with bated breath for either McTaggart to tweet out the lineup or Jeremy Brandon to quote tweet it and say what's wrong with Espada's lineup. I will be locked in. When you give me Altuve and left, I may even watch a Friday night game.
Exactly.
Just because I need to see, particularly if he's not at home and he's in a different environment. It's must see for all the wrong reasons for us, but it's must see if he's out there trying to figure out how to traverse left field in a ballpark he's not familiar with, which will be all of them as far as left field is concerned. Yeah. But I got to be there for that. So the Astros have provided a reason for me to watch, and that goes to the top of the list. Because I think they're going to be pretty good. We talked about how the odds, at least on Fangraph, for winning the division, pretty tight between them, the Rangers, and the Mariners. The tightest Fangraph has had since they started doing this, the projection. Each team has right around a 30% chance of winning the division. Their Astros actually are the third favorite in the division if we go by Fangraph. But so they're going to be okay, pretty good, challenging for the division. But the Altuve part of this is what I'm looking for. I got to say thank you.
It's like
I'll say thank you for this particular pull to the season.
It's like if they came out before a game and they're like, you know what? Lamar Jackson's going to play wide receiver this game. You're like, wait, what?
So Bill Polian's running the Ravens?
I know, right? Maybe not. Josh Allen's going to play wide receiver. Sure. You'd just be like, hey, I have to see what happens. Like,
they're going to start Mitch Trubisky, and they only do it for like a Thursday night game to get interest.
Yeah.
It's the Thursday night game that no one wants to play. Bills versus Jets. Mitch Trubisky's playing quarterback today. Josh Allen's an H-back, wide receiver type, and we're just going to see how this goes. Yeah. That's kind of what it feels like. Yeah, he's a pretty good second baseman. In fact, the best player you've ever had. Put him out in left and see how it goes. I want it to go well for the Astros' sake, but there's a part of me that's like, can they win games and he's kind of a disaster out there on occasion?
I think the best is that it is normally, like it all comes out in the wash as like,
sure.
Average below, like slightly below average, but there is like at least two just hilarious plays.
Yeah,
just two.
I don't want him to like
where he jumps at the wall and he's like not even close.
Yeah, I don't really
want so tiny.
I don't want him to fall on his face because in the world of viral videos, Altuve falling on his face in left field will be a thing opposing fan bases use, and I don't want to see that. But you know, he misplays a ball because, as you made that sound effect, he's just too small to get it. Okay, that's expected. That happens.
Yeah,
sure. He misplays the ball in that fashion. I'm okay with that.
Even like there's a sac fly and he has to throw it home and just he has to hit the cutoff man.
And no one's going to blame him for it because everyone knew this was an issue and the Astros still put him out there. This is not a player issue. This is a distribution of your talent issue. And we know this is a problem. They're still trying it, and you can look to. And I won't even blame Joe Espada. This is, I think, an executive suite decision, and that's why Altuve's out there. But we'll see him shortly. I mean, he'll be taking fly balls in left field. He's already doing that. We've seen the videos of him at Minute Maid. Now, starting tomorrow, I guess he'll split duty between taking ground balls and taking fly balls out in left field as the Astros will get it going starting tomorrow. So, I guess my next thing about that is what will wear us out first, Astro spring training stories or the random draft story? Because we're in draft season now. I talked to Lance as he was walking out. His whole life going forward is to look at players. For the next 2 months or so, he's going to be looking at players and putting out mock drafts. And, of course, the Texans have needs, and these mock drafts will come from local sources, from national sources, and, of course, the biggest needs for the Texans. Those articles will be kind of carrying the day until they actually make a selection or free agency hits. Actually, free agency will be that first thing, and if they make a couple moves there, then the draft needs will change. So we're in that time now. We got the Rockets. Thankfully, they're good. Well, they're not playing well, but thankfully, they're going to be a playoff team we're going to be able to talk about. But going forward, we're going to have a lot of draft and a lot of spring training stuff to get to. At least it's actual sports when it comes to spring training. Got some news for tomorrow. Sean, you won't be here for it. That's unfortunate. But Raheel and I, he won't be in. He pestered me about doing a segment. And by pestered, he sent a text. He sent a text. He wants to do a segment. So I don't know if it'll be weekly, but starting tomorrow, Raheel Ramzanali will join us. And if you've heard him call in on this show,
okay,
it could be anything.
So it's not just going to be days I'm out that Raheel.
I don't think that was the plan. I don't think he just called in because he wants to hear Abigail on the phone line when he calls. I don't think
the timing is suspicious. That's all I'll say.
You think the known Texas fan is avoiding the other biggest Texas fan I know?
I don't know.
Both Texas grads.
Ask him.
We'll ask him tomorrow. I don't think we'll get. He'll probably have an answer for it, but I don't think it'll have much to do with you. We'll see.
He probably is like, I had no. I couldn't tell the difference in the voice.
That was Sean who answered the phone. Or maybe we'll call him. Either way, Raheel will join us. I don't know what time, but he's got topics. You know him as the host of CityCast. He does a very serious show about things going on in Houston, and then he comes on this show and turns it into his playground. So we'll get that tomorrow. So we'll have Raheel on Thursday. Well, tomorrow, and then we'll have Michael Carroll on Friday. Different tones, but I like having both of them on, so we'll do that tomorrow. Okay, we've got some NFL news. I didn't know the Matthew Stafford to the Giants thing was such a likelihood. I think Lance even dropped that he expects that to happen. Matthew Stafford to the Giants. And there are some sound we're going to get to from Kelly Stafford, known podcaster, also the wife of Matt Stafford. This was something from maybe a week or so ago now. She talked about the trading of Cooper Kupp opening up the possibility of she and her husband. I wouldn't say it was full on, oh, they're disrespecting us, but she made it known we want to win. We want to win. And Cooper Kupp, trading with Cooper Kupp, tells them that maybe winning isn't at the highest priority.
Kelly Stafford's in a win now mindset, all right?
She also said, I won't give away the entire thing, but it's about respect, too. Trading Cooper Kupp is disrespectful to Matthew. So we'll get to that in a little bit. We'll also have some sound to close a plot hole or a loop. We played the Ryan Holland sound, and we read his apology, talked about him apologizing for his viral video. Well, we asked, how do Toronto Raptors announcers deal with the fact that Grady Dick is on their team? We're going to find out. There was a moment yesterday where Joel Embiid fell all over himself and turned the ball over and cost his team a chance to win the game. And somehow, some way, Grady Dick got the ball. Toronto Raptors, they handle a situation differently than, at least their announcers handle it differently than Ryan Hollins did. No apologies coming from them. They've got it set. So we'll get to that. Plenty of other stuff to get to as we're just getting started here. You want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. And really the clip of the day is Carl Ravitch forgetting how conference schedules work. We will get to that as well. Some news from a former Texans OC. We'll get to that when we come back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Bobby Sloan gets a job. I know a lot of smoke was sent this way. You know he's terrible because no one will even hire him. Well, all you got to do is know someone. He is the new passing game coordinator for the Miami Dolphins. They have an OC. They have a guy who did have that title who may be getting a new job someplace else. He's in consideration. Daryl Bevel, longtime NFL guy. He may be getting an OC job in a spot. He's still up for those jobs. And they also have Frank Smith, who is an OC. So I'm not sure where Bobby Slowick fits in when your head coach is the play caller, too. I don't suspect Bobby Slowick's going to be calling plays, even if the head coach Mike McDaniel turns away the opportunity to call plays and just focuses on being a head coach. They legit have two other guys currently in the building who are next in line. So If you thought you could see Bobby Slowick, at least some people's eyes, ruin another team's offense, feels unlikely. He will just be their passing game coordinator at this moment. So Mike McDaniel, San Francisco guy, Bobby Slowick, San Francisco guy, he gets a job. So if you were praying on his downfall and saying, he ain't ever going to get a job again, don't you guys know how many San Francisco people exist who have coached under Kyle Shanahan? There will always be a spot for Bobby Slowick. Always. He will always have a job unless he doesn't want one anymore.
And, like, I mean, he's a son of a coach. Like, there's no way he was going to fall off the face of the earth after being an NFL OC.
True.
However.
Oh.
Is he ever going to call plays again? Let me...
Well,
move those goalposts.
Okay, let's talk about it. Bobby Slowick had a surprising year one where he helped the rookie quarterback have a great rookie year. Now, year two wasn't good, and maybe you could say maybe they all caught up to him, and CJ was carrying Bobby Slowick in year one, and when people figure out some things, all of a sudden the offense wasn't so great. We got the offensive line issues that we talk about quite a bit that's going to hamper any offense. But the NFL is about rehabilitation. Now, if this Dolphins offense turns around, because, by the way, they need to fix their offensive line. They fix their offensive line and Tua stays healthy.
Bobby Slowick will get on.
Bobby Slowick will be considered part of the reason as a passing game coordinator. We don't know how much of the credit pie he deserves, but if he's part of an offense that has a good year, he will definitely be a guy that at some point, and because you know what? At some point, another Shanahan guy will get a head coaching job. And you know who could be available, can call plays? Bobby Slowick. This is how this goes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Bill freaking Lazor was a finalist for the Texans OC.
And he is not I went through the numbers. He has not coordinated many successful offenses.
So,
and yet, still, he was available and had an opportunity.
Yeah, Bobby Slowick is definitely going to work. Now, is he ever going to be, like, good?
Well, that's a different question you're asking.
Yeah. But I'm sure a team with offensive line questions. I think the first guy you want is like Bobby Slowick knows how to coach around this.
Are you saying Bobby Slowick can only be successful coaching the Eagles?
Yeah, yeah. O-line merchant, Bobby Slowick.
As long as Jeff Stoutland is someplace and he's coaching an offensive line, maybe Bobby Slowick has a chance.
Even last year, like the Texans, or not last year, 2023. It's not like they had the Eagles offensive line that year.
No, they weren't, and the numbers, if you go through them, they weren't awesome as an offense overall. It was just a surprise in the comp to 2021, 2022, the dark years. It was a surprise.
It was just such a big leap.
And we thought another leap was coming, and they added offensive talent. Look, we're going to talk about this until they fix it, but they missed on their projections for their offensive line, and it hurt Bobby Slowick's chances. And, of course, they were haters for Bobby Slowick last year, not on the local side. I listen to, unfortunately, a lot of NFL podcasts during the season and the offseason. It's just how I pass the time.
Unfortunately.
Look, I'm aware it's not a great habit I have. I will acknowledge my fault there. But they weren't fans of Bobby Slowick. Enough people weren't fans of Bobby Slowick that I knew that his perception from the nerd football and the film guys, wasn't the same as the people touting him as a potential head coaching candidate. And the people here who credited him for partly CJ Stroud's success. And, of course, at least Tom Pelissero's tweet regarding his new job was, he went from, or something along the lines of, he was a head coach, hot head coaching candidate last year, and after another year in Houston, he finds his way to the Dolphins. So there's still an acknowledgement that name meant something as far as a potential head coach. He spent the 1 year too many here in Houston, and that has changed. Now he's like fourth in line as far as potential play callers for a Dolphins team that's in flux a little bit too. But hey, man got a job. Just live in South Florida.
There are worse things in life.
Now.
Maybe Tyreek Hill can show him around.
If he's still around. The Tyreek Hill thing is interesting because if man quit on his team in the middle of what turned out to be a meaningless game. But he quit on them. He I don't want to play anymore.
And then
he said, I want out.
In the post game, was like, I want out.
And then he's walked that back. So the question will be, we talk about culture here and tone setters and what it means to have guys who are all in. And the Lemery Tunsil thing always comes up. Can you – look, players are more forgiving than we think, particularly when the player in question that needs to be forgiven is really talented. But if things start to go left, then they will question this player. But in the moment when you think he can help you, they'll forgive a lot. The question is, do you bring a guy back who not only quit on the team, but then immediately afterwards said, I want out? It would be a statement, I think, if you say, Tyreek Hill, you're very talented. You didn't have a great year, partly because of injuries and adjustments by the defense, and then you quit on us, you got to go. We're going to recoup any draft capital we can and try to see if we can operate offensively without you. Or you bring him back and anything goes, I think, at that point. Hey, the guy can quit on you. He can tell you he wants out. You bring him back. It'll be an interesting test for a franchise who isn't known to be one that makes great decisions, how they handle that particular one.
Yeah, I trust Stephen Ross's decision-making
We can blame him. And it's funny.
And Chris Greer. I'd also
He wears a blazer.
Brain trust.
And a collared shirt and a hat everywhere. So, of course, you can trust him. I will say this. The biggest Stephen Ross issue is he went after Harbaugh and whiffed.
Yeah.
And then he went after Brady and whiffed. So he can identify who he should grab. He just can't secure the bag.
Can't close it.
Yeah, he can't close.
I do wonder what the Tyreek market would be. Because
and I bring up his name beyond the fact that he's going to cost a lot no matter. He's going to cost the team he trades plenty and then cost because of the hit and then cost the team who trades for him in terms of compensation.
Yeah.
Is he a player, considering the Texans love, at least most recently, they love making an acquisition in the offseason, is he someone that Sean Mapes, known ball knower, someone, but also someone who loves the entertainment value of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Would you welcome?
I'm an agent of chaos.
Maybe. We'll see.
Heath Ledger?
We'll see what happens. Well, hopefully you avoid the final parts of Heath Ledger's chaos. But known chaos agent, Sean Mapes, since you've given yourself that title, would you like Tyreek Hill in a Texans uniform?
I mean, it would be a lot of fun.
It would be.
You cannot deny it.
It would be so much fun to have him here.
It would be the greatest. Now, taking off Agent of Chaos hat, putting on Chris Greer GM hat.
Which he always wears, yes.
I'm not sure. I don't
you're not Chris Greer. You're Nick Caserio. So you put on your zip up, your vest.
I don't know. Because is he 30 or turning 30?
I think he is 30. Maybe about to be 31.
That makes sense. I don't love paying him a lot of money.
He'll be 31 March 1st. So less than
31 on March 1st. And it's just the price for the – like you're paying top – maybe not what he got traded for originally, but you're probably parting with a first to get him, right?
Well – maybe this news.
Second and other stuff?
No, I respond to with a maybe because some news came out regarding some of his offseason activities from last year. You remember that lawsuit where the model came and she said either she shook him or she locked him up and he didn't like it, so he pushed her down and she got hurt. And then
I remember. Man, you know what? I'm back in on Tyreek. Well, finish the story.
Remember that moment? And then he said, "No, my dog tripped you. That's how you got hurt." Tyreek admitted to he had to satisfy his tall woman fetish, so that's why she was around.
I'm back in.
You're all in. You're all in now.
I was worried that was going to turn more criminal. For Tyreek Hill. Nope, just a freak.
Hill revealed he researched 6'1", 250-pound Hall, that's the woman in question, by viewing plenty of her sex tapes before messaging her via Instagram in May 2023, but denied being especially attracted to her. All right, bro. All right, hold on. You cannot tell the world that you researched plenty of her sex tapes.
Researched?
Yeah.
Researched.
Yeah, we don't need to dive into what that actually means.
Doing a Lancer line breakdown.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't need to dive into what that means. You did all that research. I didn't think she's that attractive, by the way. I DM'd her, did a lot of research, but, you know, she's not that hot.
Invited her to my house.
Yeah, I wanted her over. And of course, the attorney in question goes, no, you thought she was attractive. Michael Trunk, that's the attorney's name for Hall.
Junk in the trunk.
Michael Trunk was told by Hill during his grilling that the wide receiver wanted to have sex with the OnlyFans model because she's tall, as a fetish maybe. And let's confirm, you want him here.
As an agent of chaos, yes. Because everything you just, I mean, imagine Imagine if that story happened locally.
Imagine.
We would never stop talking about it.
During his videotaped December 3rd deposition, Hill answered questions about the series of plays. They're in the backyard.
Series of plays.
Fine.
He's learning the Bobby Slowick offense.
Once again, the story was she came over because, at least the initial story was, she met Hill at some football camp for a kid. And she got invited over, and they ran some plays, and she somehow embarrassed him, and that's when an injury occurred later. But during that videotape December 3rd deposition, he'll answer questions about the series of plays leading up to Hall's injury by extending his arms and making a grasping motion. Asked to clarify, he explained that he reached out and touched Hall's breast in the manner of a player getting underneath an opponent's shoulder pads, admitting that the move was a little foreplay-ish. Once again, you want that guy here. You want Tyreek Hill here.
I mean, my biggest issue is that he's turning 31 in March. And the cap hit.
He's an aging player.
I'll put it at that. And also the
compensation that it would take.
Yeah, I'll put it at that.
So I started the Tyreek Hill part of this segment with the Dolphins have some decisions to make about culture and and rewarding a guy for quitting on the team and, you know, asking for a trade and thinking, hey, we should bring that guy back. And then you have to throw this on top of everything, too. Well, I just DM'd her because I got a bit of a fed.
I think the Texans culture is strong enough to withstand.
You think Will Anderson can get him in line?
Yeah, Will Anderson.
I don't know.
DeNico Autry.
I can't wait for C.J. Stroud's quotes after a game or before a game talking about, you know, his love of Jesus and he's right with God. And Tyreek's like, yeah, I invited her over because I got a tall woman fetish. Didn't think she was hot, but I need to see it. And I did my research.
Just had to see it.
Yeah.
Had to see it for my own two eyes.
I mean, I did the research. Why not? If I got the opportunity to invite her over and see it with my own two eyes, why not? So there we are.
How tall is Tyreek Hill?
He's like probably around 5'8", 5'9", really.
Okay.
He's not listed at that height, but that's probably what he is.
Okay. I was thinking of his listed height, and I was like, I don't know if 6'1" is tall enough to call it a tall woman. She's tall for a woman, but she's not tall in relation to him. But I guess
if
if he's that short, then
yeah. So shout out to Tyreek, future Texan. If Sean Mapes has his
way, let me get the Photoshop's on.
Get the jersey swap. Get that jersey on Tyreek. Get that 10 H-Town blue jersey on Tyreek right now. Because, you know, Hannah McNair is looking forward to bringing that into the building.
He's Texans worthy.
I think they got rid of one guy. And not by their own doing. I mean, he asked out who had his issues. I'm not sure they want to invite that back into the building. It's not the same type of issues. But if his own words are true, yeah, I just wanted to reach out. I admit it's a little foreplayish. I didn't ask her if she wanted me to do that.
At least say
I wanted to jam her at the line. Don't say you did it for the reasons we all think you did it for. There it is. Deebo Samuel available. Tyreek Hill doesn't want to get traded. This recent deposition, as far as when we found out about it, may keep him from being traded. I'm not sure who's going to say, you know what, I want that guy on my team. But someone likely will. I doubt it'll be the Texans. They may go in a different direction. Too bad Sean's not running the team. All right, we will get out of here with that, and I'll get you your. I got a tweet about the Tyreek Deebo comparison, so we'll get to that too. But we do have sound to get to regarding Carl Ravitch and Kelly Stafford. So a lot to get to. If you want to get in on the show, 713-780-3776.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean, you spent maybe more time than you want to admit on a college football message board, right?
No, not really.
Or you're not one of the message board guys?
No.
Okay.
I get the message board filtered down to.
Oh, you get that news through people.
Yeah.
I guess I'm projecting. I spent more time than I want to admit on message boards. Less so recently, but there was a time. And fire insert name of coach will pop up from time to time. Hell, I'm a fan of a university that has had fans hire planes to drag banners over the stadium because they wanted a guy out. I think it's happened twice in my life where two different head coaches had planes flying overhead with banners saying fire Shannon, fire Golden. So I've lived through it. I've never seriously considered getting involved in paying for a banner or a billboard. That's what's happening in Pittsburgh. It's already happened. There's a billboard out saying Mike Tomlin's pretty much got to go. It's from some guy classified as a Steelers super fan, but the billboard reads, "The standard is mediocrity. Trade Tomlin or sell the team. Rooney, we've had enough." The Steelers haven't won a playoff game since 2016. Normally, that would be considered unacceptable for a head coach on the NFL level. Tomlin is a guy who does have a title back in 07, I think is when it was.
Oh, wait.
So it's been a long time since the Steelers were at the pinnacle. But we know that franchise operates like a family business. At least the ownership group is family. And they treat coaches well. And they're rewarded. Generally, the Steelers have been relevant. Maybe never. I haven't considered them a real title contender in a long time. And maybe that's the biggest problem. That they're just good enough to have to take Kenny Pickett late in the first round. They're never at a point where they can take a real franchise-changing type quarterback. It's hard to get those anyway, even if you are in that position. But just ask the Jags. But you'd rather be in that position than being a playoff team, knowing you still need a quarterback, and either being stuck with Kenny Pickett than transitioning to Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Hasn't gone well for them. He's treated like a college coach who's sainted. Like, call your shot when you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's unique for pro sports, but the Steelers do that. I just know that no matter how mediocre my coach is or the results are, I'm not helping you pay for a billboard or a banner. It's not my vibe. I've seen the GoFundMes. I've seen people post the GoFundMes. Do you want to get involved in this? And the answer is always no. I think it's, I don't know if over the line's the right way to put it. It's a step too far. You want to complain, but a billboard, because particularly when it's the Rooneys, they're not going to listen to you.
Yeah.
They're not getting rid of Mike Tomlin because the Steelers superfan got a billboard up. They're not. It doesn't matter.
They're not even going to see the billboard.
They're not. Look, the Texans may be embarrassed by it, but I don't even think the Texans would fire a coach, despite our jokes about how they listen to the fan base, and that's why Sloak's gone. That's probably more a player thing and a results thing. Some of the players didn't want him around, but they're not. No legitimate, serious franchise is going to take the advice of the fans and go, you know what? The billboard got the job done. Fan discontent helps. I'm not going to say it doesn't move the needle a little bit, but the Rooneys are a case where pack it up. You would be better off digging up a scandal about Mike Tomlin than you would creating a billboard and saying he needs to go. They know what they are, and they're fine with it.
Also, just in general, like, their season's been over for a month.
Yeah, what are you doing?
No one gets fired in February unless there is a scandal.
Yeah. If you thought there was going to be a real impact, you should have had that planned for the minute their final game was over.
I mean, if you really want them fired, should have come down to like, oh, well, maybe if they...
All the good coaches are gone. Kellen Moore just got hired. There's no one available. Well, Kellen Moore's a great coach. We'll see.
Moore's the most recent coach hired. That should tell you that there's no good coach.
The Saints waited over... They waited a long time, and they came down with Kellen Moore. It's not actually a great cycle, to be honest with you. So it's not the time. I would say for Steelers fans, it's not the time.
You had a situation where the Saints were turned down by Mike McCarthy.
He said, I'd rather not.
And then had to go to Kellen Moore. So, although Mike McCarthy, Pittsburgh guy, he's from the area. Probably always dreamed of being the Steelers coach.
So they want to hire the guy that Tomlin beat in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
No, Tomlin got beat by him in the Super Bowl. Right? Tomlin beat the Cardinals.
Yes.
Mike McCarthy. So they want an upgrade because Mark McCarthy beat
obviously.
Yes.
Mike McCarthy greater than Mike Tomlin.
In the biggest game that they coached against each other, Mike McCarthy won. I mean, Mike McCarthy has three 12-win seasons in his back pocket, and then a 7-10 season because injuries.
More recent playoff win, I assume?
Yes. I did look it up this morning. Mike McCarthy
has a playoff win.
They made the divisional round, remember? I know it's hard to remember the Cowboys having any playoff success.
Did they win the divisional round?
No, they never do that. They never do that. That hasn't been done for them since
Barry Switzer, yeah.
Yeah. It's been a while. Mike McCarthy, a better regular season coach, and also he also has that playoff win, but I don't think they're hiring him. I think the Steelers are one of those teams where the coach may have to retire before they would get rid of him.
Or mutual part ways.
Yes.
There's a job that's open that
and
Mike
he would rather have it than this one. He wants a refresh. I can see that happening. But the press release that the Steelers have fired Mike Tomlin or the breaking news from one of the newsbreakers, I don't ever think it'll happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is easy to see a world where you find another job more attractive than the Steelers job. Because if you are to judge it how we judge when jobs open up, it's, is there a young, good quarterback you want to work with? No. There hasn't been one since Ben Roethlisberger was a young quarterback. Bill Cowher was the coach. That was the last time they had a young, interesting quarterback. Then they had a good quarterback, a really good quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, up until, 2017, 2018?
And age got him like it gets everyone.
Yeah, and then they let him play for like 3 years too long.
Well, why not treat Ben like you treat your head coaches? Call your shot. Yeah. You keep playing until you want to stop.
And then the only high investment replacement that they ever put into him was Kenny Pickett, who was drafted 20th
in
overall.
An awful quarterback draft. He just happened to be the guy.
They haven't really even tried to replace Ben Roethlisberger.
No, it's not. There's not much effort being put in. We never hear the Steelers trying to move up in the draft for a quarterback. Maybe a Steelers fan would know more, but we never hear the rumors that the Steelers are in on a guy.
They talk to Shedeur Sanders. They love Shedeur Sanders.
Well, I don't blame them if they don't. But
they love Michael Penix.
This is last year's draft. Why weren't the Steelers more heavily involved in trying to get themselves a quarterback?
They love Bo Nix. They met with Bo Nix and they're all blown away.
Something. We never hear that about them.
Yeah.
They're fine with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson coming into the year.
From the second he shook J.J. McCarthy's hand, he knew that this was a starting quarterback.
Not a thing. And you know what? They get what they deserve, right? If you are fine with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields as your two quarterbacks, what happened this season? You know, leading the division for a good bit of it?
Yeah. October champs.
Which is very important in baseball.
Yeah.
Not so much
basically,
in football.
Basically a seventh ring for the Steelers.
Look how great they were before the games really started to matter. Look how great they were.
Pre-Thanksgiving, one seed, maybe. Actually, probably the two seed.
They might for a week. Yeah, the Chiefs never lost, so yeah. And then when the Chiefs did come to town, got decimated by them. So I'm not a fan of billboards. Not to specifically tell you how to be a fan, but I feel like mostly don't waste your money is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
As far as that's concerned. But if you are a Steelers fan, I get it. It's been a long time.
I get the frustration. I definitely get the frustration.
Yeah, as far as not really believing you ever had a shot to win a Super Bowl because of your quarterbacks.
Yeah.
No matter how good the rest of the roster is, no matter how impactful Highsmith and Watt can be and Minka Fitzpatrick can be, there's always a ceiling for them. And that sucks as a fan to know you've got a giant ceiling on your team no matter what.
But to me, that's less about Tomlin, more about the quarterback and the
yes, but the someone GMing has to catch it.
Team.
And Tomlin's going to catch it.
Except
not from the ownership group, because maybe they understand more than the fans.
Yeah, but that's the issue, where it's if I'm a Steelers fan, I don't think I'm mad at specifically Tomlin. I'm mad at the fact that they haven't invested at quarterback at all.
Yeah, it's very weird. Considering they're a franchise that won with a first round, and of course Bradshaw long ago, but they should know in their recent history, after going through the Bubby Bristers and Mike Tomczaks of the world and the Neil O'Donnells of the world, and sure you made one Super Bowl, but you never had the guy, and then you got the guy, and you had this long period of being a real contender, and yet they're like, you know what, that was cool, but never again.
Yeah.
Why?
It's just, and I get some of it is that they're never terrible, which seems like they have a good coach. The wheels never fall off.
Very true.
But I don't know how they're not more aggressive trying to replace a quarterback.
Seems like a
get ready to learn Kirk Cousins, buddy.
Or
that's what it feels like.
Yeah, like
Rodgers.
Well, the news right now, I'm looking at it right now. We'll get to the sound when we come back because it involves this player, Matthew Stafford. It's a lot of Giants talk. Why aren't the Steelers in on Matthew Stafford? Now, I know the Giants hired someone close to Matthew Stafford. That's why people are connecting the dots. But if we're talking about a spot to go to, why not go to Pittsburgh if you're looking to try to win? Now, maybe the thought of George Pickens isn't that appealing. Maybe you'd rather have Malik Nabers as your receiver. But I wouldn't want to go to New York. Why?
Talk about not winning a playoff game since 2016.
Yeah. But hey, apparently Matt Stafford to the Giants seems like a real thing. We'll hear from Kelly Stafford. In her eyes, or in her words at least, the Rams weren't respecting Matthew. And maybe that's why this trade's about to happen. We'll get to that when we come back. But first, let's talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. That's the place you go to. You know, it's at 11:42, but 10:42, whatever. In fact, it's 10:52, so we'll do it here. Sorry, Sean. Aqueduct Plumbing Company is the place you go to when you want an established plumber who's going to get the job done. There are many ways plumbing can go wrong in your home. You don't know what to do, right? But there is a place that does, and that's the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Billy Brown's the owner. You hear how John and Lance treat Billy Brown. I am not in a position where I can make those jokes, but I will tell you they do a great job at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. From the big jobs to the small jobs, it's all there for you. And I say big to small because there's so many things in between that matter when it comes to your home, whether it be a leak detection or maybe there's a fixture that needs to get worked on, water filters. They do it all. Hydrostatic testing, circulating pumps, it's all there for you. They have a nice drop-down tab for all the services they provide. And, of course, that number that can help you get that free quote, 281-488-6238. So anything you need from plumbing, whether it be dirty water, stinky water, the stuff that you use to clean your dishes, cook your food, wash your clothes, they will make sure you have that clean water that when you turn on the faucet, it's what you expect. You take that for granted, and that's what you're supposed to do. And Aqueduct Plumbing Company makes sure you have a peace of mind that when you need your water, it'll be the best water possible. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiropractic.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.